We are so pleased this morning to welcome Josh Gorham into our studios. He is with a program called Thrive Range. It's administered through St. Louis County. You know, St. Louis County is some of the prettiest country there is. We don't have traffic congestion. We don't have noise pollution. We don't have a lot of big city problems. So why is the suicide rate on the range more than 1.5 times that in the Twin Cities metro? Josh Gorham and his program are doing what they can to try to find out and also to put a stop to that trend in short order. Hey, Josh, good morning, and thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
So that is indeed kind of a weird statistic, and I'm sure that the whole point of a lot of the work that you do is to try to figure out what's going on. Do you have some ideas right off the top of your head?
Yeah, it can be a challenge to look at the data that we have and understand what's really causing it to go up like it is. We're seeing our suicide rates in Minnesota and St. Louis County go up over the last 20 years. And in particular, when we look at St. Louis County and we focus in on some of the Iron Range communities, northern St. Louis County, we see rates in those communities more than double what it is just as St. Louis County overall. So in public health, we can look at data and we can identify trends and some risk factors. So we know across the nation that if you live in a rural community, suicide rates tend to be higher. And we can correlate that with, generally speaking, poorer access to resources, more difficulty accessing them, among several other issues that could potentially be driving this up.
Well, I know that I've talked to enough people who live in smaller towns, you know, where if you're going to go in and see a therapist, people are going to know.
Yeah.
And this is a problem in a lot of ways. Now, I asked you before we went on the air, I said, I'm wondering about the way that every interview manages to work in a question about the stigma attached to mental illness. And that makes me wonder, both as a journalist and a person with a mental illness, would there be so much of a stigma if we didn't keep saying there's a stigma attached to mental illness? And you had a fascinating response to that because you've been looking at that question yourself.
Yeah, I do think there are some senses of stigma out there, and maybe instead of calling it stigma, we need to start thinking of it as misunderstanding. And I think maybe we need to change the narrative a little bit to start talking about just some of the facts that, you know, 1 in 5 people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in any given year. We're talking about suicide a little bit today. As many as 7% of people will have suicidal thoughts in a given year. If we look at St. Louis County, that's 14,000 people, and a majority of those folks survive. I think, you know, we need to start talking about how this isn't uncommon. Mental illness, mental health, it's all a part of your overall health and well-being. You know, some people have diabetes, some people have hypertension. I'm a person who's lived with depression. And it impacts my health overall. And we just need to really start thinking about mental health as health and focusing on that, I think.
So we're dealing with a population of people, I'm thinking about some people in my own family, that don't want to deal with health issues because tough people, blah, blah, blah. And so they don't want to deal with health issues. They don't want to go to the doctor. You know, my grandfather's famous expression, we can't fool with that now in the busy time. I mean, that was everything from dangling limbs. Yeah, we're tough. We've got more important things to worry about. So how do you encourage people to get help when, in particular, there is this misunderstanding and there's this fear that other people, you know, if you break your arm, I'm not going to look at you weird. But if you say, you know, yeah, I'm going to my therapist after I get done with this interview, you don't know how I'm going to look at you. And what's that about? I mean, what's our problem?
Yeah, well, a good question. I think it's developing that common understanding. And really what we see is usually mental illness after it emerges, you know, sometimes in the teenage years, it's not caught and diagnosed until 10 years later. And, you know, so when we ignore the signs and symptoms of mental illness and delay care, it can actually make it worse in the long run or more difficult to recover from. And I know in my own story, in my own life, the longer that I waited to get care, it really had a tremendous impact on me negatively. I suffered for a lot longer than I think I needed to, and I don't think that's an uncommon story. So part of what we're doing with Thrive Range is actually reaching out to schools to provide resources and training to schools to help identify students who may need some assistance, and recognize that the face of mental illness, it can be anyone. I think that's hugely important. So identify it early.
It can be anyone, and it usually is.
Yeah.
I remember a therapist saying to me at one point, you don't want to kill yourself. You just want the pain to stop. And things had gotten to the point where it seemed like that was the only way to make the pain stop. And do you feel like if we can get to kids and get to people sooner, that we can, first of all, clarify the issue a little bit with them? This is not what, you know, you just want the pain to go away. There are other ways to make it go away.
Hey, great point. Great statement there, that usually when you're having suicidal thoughts, it's about how can I escape from what I'm feeling and dealing with right now. It's not that you actually want to leave. It's just, how can you escape this tremendous pain? So I think that narrative is incredibly important. And I had a good comment. I just lost it.
I hate it when that happens.
I hate it when that happens. But here's the thing I was going to say. The most healing thing is for people when they're suffering is to know that it's not absolutely abnormal and that things can get better. And they do get better. I know one of the things we're trying to do with the Thrive Range Grant, this project, is work with individuals in the community who have lived, who have struggled, and who have who have improved, who have gotten through those things. You know, I think as someone who's lived with mental health challenge, people have said, it'll get better, it's okay. And I'm like, yeah, but when you're struggling, that's hard to believe. What we really need to do is show people the how. How do we get better? How can it happen? And share stories of recovery and provide hope.
Absolutely.
And I think that's so huge.
Yep.
And there's so many people battling this battle, and there's so many people surviving it. And there's actually stories of people out there who are thriving. So.
And you get the sense frequently when you talk to people that they don't get it, and that they do not understand what you're trying to tell them. If they can listen kindly and listen nicely to begin with, which is, again, kind of a challenge sometimes, that they don't get it. So you kind of need to find somebody that you know gets it, you know understands the depth of what you're going through, and then you can go. And then when that person says, hey, it does get better, you want to believe them a little more. You said that you lurk on social media, which I loved. Tell me what you're seeing so that we can, as members of a community, even outside of the range and outside of the scope of this grant, can try to do better for the people in our lives. You talked about sometimes when people reach out for help, you know, on social media, other people aren't maybe as receptive as they could be.
Yeah, I think... empathy is tremendously important. I've seen some things online lately where people are making massive assumptions about people and connecting it to mental illness or mental health, when in fact we don't know that. So just speaking matter-of-factly about mental health and what's going on is really important. Connecting the dots to things you see in the community that you don't know about to mental illness, I think, speaks to the fact that people have assumptions about mental illness. A person with mental illness is dangerous, is scary, is someone you can't trust, is maybe a criminal or addicted to drugs. You know, sometimes those things do go hand in hand in a way, but the vast majority know, I don't think. So it's when we put ideas together and create stereotypes about mental illness that I think is dangerous. What I see happening, to put it a better way, I'd be careful of that.
And the one that I guess I like is the idea that, oh, you know, they're just faking it. They're just trying to get attention. And it's like, really? This is the way you would choose to fake? I mean, this is something, you know, your thought would be, oh, yes, you know, I'll pretend like I can't function to get attention. It's like, what are we gaining here? So that's sometimes these assumptions that we make, I don't know. Do they say more about us than they do about the people we're making the assumptions about?
Yeah. What I'll say is about some of the folks that I know that have lived with mental illness and survived through it is they're some of the strongest folks I know. Often, sometimes misunderstood. But they go through a lot and they live through a lot and have a lot of valuable skills and strengths to contribute to the community and their friends. And I'm lucky to know a few.
Yeah, that's fantastic. These people are fighting struggles that a lot of other people don't fight, because they're not only fighting what everybody fights every day, but their brain is messing with them. And I hate it when that happens. So as we talk about the Thrive Range Project and we talk about this grant, what are some of the goals of the grant? What are some of the things that you're going to be, you know, getting ramped up and ready to go on the range?
Yeah, so I talked a little bit already about how there's, you know, if you look at St. Louis County as a whole, probably 14,000 people have suicidal thoughts each year. When we look on Iron Range Community, we see clusters of suicide rates that are substantially higher. So what we're our ultimate goal is to hopefully reduce the suicide rate, but also provide some cutting-edge tools and resources for people in those communities to, you know, maybe as they're struggling with suicidal thoughts or poor mental health, to help them move along to healing and being able to, you know, mental illness, we can't wave a wand and make it go away, but we can learn how to live with it better. We can learn skills to do that. And so that's what Thrive Range is looking to provide. So we have a community arm, we like to say, where we're providing some free resources online through thriverange.org. So that includes several different options on there. One is a link to a website called Now Matters Now, which was created by Dr. Ursula Whiteside, who's a national leader in suicide prevention and a program partner. And I think of it as the stop, drop, and roll of dealing with crisis, or maybe dealing with those really feelings of despair or poor mental health. So if you go on Now Matters Now, the first thing Dr. Whiteside is going to show you is to put your face in a cold bucket of ice water for 30 seconds. And it kind of brings you down.
By the way,
and
snow works.
Yeah, snow works, cold
in
showers.
In the wintertime, if you start to feel like you're spinning out of control, you can go outside and put your face in a snowbank, and that shock to your system kind of resets your brain.
Yeah. There's more steps to this, so I encourage you to go check out thriverange.org and Now Matters Now. We also have a resource on there called Thrive, which provides, I won't call it therapy because you're not interacting with a professional, but, you know, some videos teaching you some skills to cope through depression, anxiety, mental illness. And we also have a resource on there to help screen you up for substance use. Do you have a substance use issue? Where can you get support? And also some links to some of the crisis lines, so crisis text line, National Suicide Prevention Line, some very important resources there. And as I mentioned earlier, we'll be working with schools. I'm about to go get trained in a program called Hope Squad, which provides comprehensive suicide prevention in schools. So,
okay, Wackadoo.
Yeah.
Was reading the book yesterday.
Hope Squad?
Yes.
Awesome.
Not that exact book, but by the same people.
Yeah.
Interesting the way Kismet works. The one final thing I wanted to ask you before I let you go, do you think that the way we can get to adults, I think we can all think of adults that are just not going to necessarily change their way of looking at things. And it's like, I can think of, no matter how many words I use, I don't think I could get you to change your attitudes. But kids are the ones that got their parents to start wearing seat belts. Kids are the ones that got their parents to quit smoking. When we teach kids, do you think that that's a way to reach adults in a way, perhaps, that all the other adults saying smart words just can't really do?
I think there's definitely something to that. As a parent myself, I look at my own kids, and if they come to me with something that is going to impact their life positively, I better be listening, and it would certainly open my eyes, I guess I'll say that. That's a great point, and I do think, you know, the kids growing up can set some great examples for us.
They learn all kinds of really good stuff in school that can be life-changing.
Absolutely.
If you let it in.
Yeah.
Like, they're the ones that taught you to sneeze in your elbow instead of using your hands. I mean, it's common sense, but, I mean, until Nora came home with that little piece of information, and it just gets better from there. We're going to get some links set up, Josh, so it'll be easy for folks to find some of this information, mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there are also some, and I'll ask you for this information too, some local information. If people want to reach out to somebody here locally, want to get some information, maybe want to schedule you to come in and speak to their organization, we just want to make as many resources locally available as possible for folks.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anyone's interested in learning more about Thrive Range or connecting with St. Louis County Public Health, my contact information, we'll get it posted on the, we'll get it posted here somehow, maybe
on
Facebook.
Yeah, we'll get it up on, and we'll get it up on the website. It'll be on the website with this story, so all that contact information and stuff, and these links will be there, so it'll be easy for folks to find.
Another easy way is to go on Facebook, Thrive Range.
Oh, great.
And you can message us there, and that would be another way to connect with us pretty easily.
And so the nice thing, too, about being able to do so many of these things online is that you can do them in privacy.
Right.
And nobody needs to know. So you can sit at your phone or sit at your computer and you can reach out and ask somebody. So we're encouraging folks to do that. Josh, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Josh Gorham, our guest this morning. He is a public health program coordinator with St. Louis County, and we'll get all kinds of information and links up about Thrive Range so you can learn more about that program.